This is the sixth meeting of the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. February is the second, 3:10 p.m. In attendance are Representatives Herman, Cato, and Zaraki. Representative Collins is excused, also present Henry Springer. This is announced as a work session, and it's a follow-up to the one we had 1 week ago. What we discussed 1 week ago was the bills that had been introduced up to that time, and we put a punch list of issues together, which we thought fall within the jurisdiction of that committee, and we wanted to decide if we were going to take up any of those issues as a committee matter, or if we just was going to let them go, or if we were going to wait if there were further introductions in the form of bills or resolutions on those subject matters. We had also, and I might as well bring that up at that point, I think it's timely, we also had a request from the majority, from the minority leader, Mr. Pettyjohn, to expand the committee. And a similar request went out to other committees also, and the purpose or the reason behind it is that he felt, and he made that as a statement on the floor to that effect, that he felt the minority members were underutilized as far as their talents and availability goes. So I have discussed it with Representative Collins and brought it up to Representative Zaraki's attention. Of course, we've talked about it in your committee on transportation, and we talked about it. And Speaker Grusendorf asked me what I thought about it, and I told him I would leave it up to the majority of the committee. I don't have any strong feelings on the matter one way or another. There are, of course, both sides to it. If a committee becomes large, it becomes more cumbersome. But on the other hand, you also get more viewpoints in consideration on subject matter. So if it is strictly a political ploy to spread the majority out any more than they already are, that's something I really don't consider. If that's a tactic, I leave that point on the side. I've told everybody already, I feel extremely happy and satisfied with the composition of our five-member committee myself. I think the members are well versed. The diversification of the state is maintained. We got people from the bush, from large urban area, from suburban area and small towns. Different geographic areas are represented well, so I don't have a strong desire to expand. One other problem has come up, and that's simply that I haven't been able to find anybody from the majority that isn't tied up, you know, and that's has nothing to do with theory or desires. That's a practical aspect of the matter. So I throw it out, and then I give Grusendorf our Representative Collins told me she didn't have any strong feelings either way. Either she thought the same way, that she thought five of us are working together very well. And she didn't see any necessity, but on the other hand, if it was a desire to do, she wouldn't have any objections either. So she's pretty neutral on the situation. From at least that's what she was saying last week. We can decide if you like what we want to do, and if we don't, if we want to wait till all five of us are together, that's fine too. It's just I gotta let them know. One time or another. Yeah,
I just coming right back, and I know you and I have discussed it also. I think part of it was, you know, for political purposes and not go that far and drop it. I do think that if one more majority member were to come on this committee, they would be taxed. I mean, there's some of them that are really spread out, as you were saying. For the record, though, it is unfortunate that more minority people could not be in committees to use, again, the talents that are there. But then there's other ways of keeping involved with the committees that are out there. I feel very comfortable and relaxed with the committee as it is, and another thing, we're already in our third week. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to seriously be looking at. There is a good spectrum of people from throughout the state, so again, I feel comfortable with the way they are right now. In fact, we're somewhat of the envy of most committees.
I feel extremely comfortable.
Okay. Do you have any opinion?
I think one of the first things I said when you asked for comments in the opening of the committee was how small the committee was, and I was glad to see, you know, that it was that small. I think it's a lot easier to work with a, you know, a smaller group. Like if you have like 24 majority members and you work with like 15 of them, it's just so much nicer. You get a lot more done, I think. And I think we've got a, you know, good group of people, good balance. I'd like to see it just stay. And then, you know, also like Representative Zawacki came to me to try to be on resources, and, you know, I just couldn't accommodate that because we have like 9 members already, and, you know, he's welcome at any committee meetings, but just can't do that.
Well, that's fine with me, and I just let him know that I just want to make sure that there isn't even the slightest doubt that I'm very open-minded about it, and I have certainly no political motives one way or another. I think we want to do a good job in that, what we are doing, and certainly I won't let any politics enter into that type of stuff. So that's fine with me, and I tell Petty John and Kersendorf that we're going to continue operating the way we are, and I'm sure that's okay all the way around. Okay, we haven't gotten yet the final resolution statements from that latest Northwest Mayors Conference. I tried to get that. That was the meeting that was held about 2 weeks ago in Norman. It was a follow-up to that one in Wainwright. And they passed something like 55 resolutions or something. They got the diarrhea, I think. And there was nobody there stopping them, but we haven't gotten them. They don't have them all typed up yet, but we should have them sometimes this week. So I suspect there are no great unique things. They're probably, from what I hear, most of them are support statements for what the Municipal League had to say. Terry, have you got any idea what some of the highlights are?
I've got a listing, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't you come on right up on the table here, Chair, and share it with us?
The list I haven't gone through and selectively edited it. Maybe I could just run through it for the committee and
just highlights. Yeah,
I'll try to be just as brief as possible. One of the amendments protested audits of nonprofit corporations, notably bingo operations. Another one was a resolution supporting and continuing coastal zone management. They urged the withdrawal of federal denial of coastal zone plans in the North Slope Borough and recalcitrance in the Bering Straits area and north and south. Another resolution endorsed the Bering Straits Coastal Zone Management Plan. It seems as though that plan is up for review, and 6 commissioners from state departments are going to be reviewing to approve the Coastal Zone Management Plan from Bering Straits region here in the next week or so. Another was going on record as requesting help for coastal erosion in the North Slope rural communities as a result of that fall storm. Another one endorsed the separate accounting concept for accounting for oil and gas taxation. Another one wanted included trail staking in the state revenue sharing specific program entitlements. 2 other resolutions indicated how high a priority education was in the Northwest area. Another resolution recommended full funding for state revenue sharing and municipal assistance. Another one recommended full funding for power cost equalization programs. There was a resolution in support of the Alaska Power Authority because of their rural programs. One endorsed the concept of taxation of alcoholic beverages by municipalities, taxing the importation of alcoholic beverages. That was one of the items, I think, that was included on your punch list. Another general endorsement of economic development. Another one endorsed the 1991 amendments of the Alaska Federation of Natives. Another one urge passage of municipal land grant entitlements. And I believe that that's a piece of legislation that will come before the committee. Another one endorsed local utilization of non-commercial energy deposits, areas where there were coal and natural gas, which might be tapped for local use, but was not commercially exploitable. They wanted those things to be identified and made available to local residents. Another one urged the convention of a constitutional convention for 1990 reapportionment. Support, they indicated support for a nuclear-free zone in the Arctic. Aid to upgrade local schools to state standards. Evidently, there are a bunch of schools within the zone that, within the district that do not meet state code. They elicited support for preschool and Head Start. There were several resolutions that indicated the need for supplemental funding for projects, capital projects, that had been begun and had not been completed, particularly erosion projects and water and sewer projects.
Anything about the Port of Mount in there?
No, there was nothing that specifically related to the Port of Mount. They indicated support for the prior year data concept for funding both school entitlements and state revenue sharing municipal assistance, which is a bill that will come before the committee that's been referred to the committee. They indicated that there's a 95% federal match for airports and that the state, for want of the 5% matching funds, ought not to lose any of the federal matching funds. I don't know anything about that particular resolution.
Yeah, that's a regular ADAP program. We never let any penny lapse as far as I know.
They wanted to indicate their support for regional strategies and encourage continuing funding for regional strategy projects. They indicated the need for higher bail for local option offenses. One of the bills that's going to come before this committee is talking about a higher penalty for local option offenses. It may be that a committee amendment might be offered.
Terry, what do you mean, local option?
This is the alcohol local option.
That's what I thought, yeah. I thought maybe they had some other local options.
The alcohol local option. The community at Kaktovik felt that it was important for them to go on record as supporting development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, but indicating that they faced serious oil impact and that they needed money to. Places indicated their concern, the mayor's indicated their concern that reliable communications is still not present in all Alaskan communities, and that is a very important thing.
And that we shouldn't take
Rat-Man. I get it from Valdez, too.
They have
public radio.
Telecommunications on Thursday. Did you see that?
No.
They indicated the need for senior homes and regional centers. Also, the indication that the Department of Transportation and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs maintain their regional offices. And they went on record as supporting 104A IRA monies for administrative purposes for Indian Reorganization Act councils. It was a federal program. Indicated support for bilingual bicultural education programs, support for subsistence, and a request to the University of Alaska Border Regents to have rural representation when they're putting together their University of Alaska organization plan. And that's the list.
I don't think there was anything on there which we didn't have on our punch list except the calls for money for different deals. One thing is interesting, so, and I don't know if we have that on, and I don't know how we enter into it, is that gambling business. You know, like big audits here. You know, in most communities, that business is getting to be real problem.
Yeah, I've got some background information. There was new regs put out and we commented. They were also saying things like, where was putting them out? Who does the big go? They were talking, talking about like stopping like 19-year-olds from going and stuff like that. And we wrote back and said, you know, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
And things like that.
And I don't know the particulars, but I do know that they had several hearings in Anchorage over the last year and a half, because there were two major problems in New Anchorage over the last beginning. I'm dating this, I don't know, it was a year ago or within the last 18 months, and I do know that there were several regulations that came out of it, i.e. tightening up the requirements by it. Because there have been, and probably still are, some real abuses.
Yeah, there have been some real abuses. And I know in some of the rural communities, that's nearly a 90-day deal now, you know, between the different permit holders.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty tight, but most of them, there's no accounting whatsoever. It all goes into the foot locker, and that's the accounting system. But I don't know if and how we should get involved. Well, we got an updated list on the second one is the bills referred to us, 9, 15, 20, 20, 37, 65, 67, 68, 90, 95, and this morning 102. And maybe you can give us a short rundown. Perry, we went through two bills in the first reading now, right?
That's correct. House Bill 28 related to prostitution, and House Bill 37 related to municipal property tax procedures. Both of them will come before you for continuing consideration at Wednesday night.
Right.
I don't really have set whether or not we will finish with one or both of those bills at that meeting or not. House Bill 67 is scheduled for Friday's meeting, and at that point there are no other bills scheduled.
Well, I think 37 we're going to get finished. 28, I thought we were fairly close, except that Representative Collins had quite a few problems with it. In regards to the pattern clause in the statutes, she feels if we do it, we should address that problem, which is right now. Basically, the problem is that she feels it shouldn't be just the prostitute that's penalized; that the pattern or the John needs to get penalized too. And the statutes have an escape clause in it. Even so, in the case of Anchorage, the city ordinance covers it, you know, so she feels that that should be made clear in the state statutes too. But the sponsor, Donald and Greenberg, they are not looking at it from an all-encompassing change or addressing a different type of problem. They have a very specific precinct problem in their area, and they want to address that for Anchorage, not necessarily on a statewide basis. So I don't know where we are going to head with that. We agreed in the committee that we were going to alter the language to possibly include that, but I'm not sure if that is going to satisfy Representative Collins or not. She is working with an attorney this weekend in Anchorage on that, going through it in a comprehensive manner to see. But I have no gut feeling. We may get done with it Wednesday, we may not. But maybe we can go as a committee through it and see what your pleasure is or what priorities you see in scheduling others, because there are some pretty important ones in there. The House Bill 65 is definitely a consequential one. That's the one that's introduced by Hoffman, and it's not a theoretical bill. That's based on was it Akajak?
Yes.
The problem at Akajak, where they didn't want to continue with the municipal form of government and wanted to go under the Indian Self-Determination Act to form an IRA, and but still wanted to get the revenue sharing the municipalities get. So there are a lot of problems connected with that bill, and but it's timely, and I think the state has shirked its responsibility too long not to address the problem. I'm not saying we have to agree or disagree. I'm just saying it creates a problem, not in the case of AccuCheck. That's just one separate problem, but we have a lot of communities that don't have any civil form of government, we are still have to deal with them, and administrators are doing all kinds of fancy footwork trying to get around the law, because the federal people do have a solution to it, at least in form of how they address it.
Wasn't that also the bill, correct? Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
That increased the population level so that they would be eligible? Was that in there?
That one is House Bill 67 scheduled for Friday, and that increases the population level for municipalities for purposes of the housing assistance program.
For rural.
Yeah.
What did you say about the federal government, that they're taking care of the problem?
No, they are not. The federal government has a legally established relationship to that by recognizing them as a form of a representative elect government. But the state doesn't, and that's where the problem is.
I just want to throw out an idea. I think, you know, it seems like, we get a lot of information or concerns or issues facing us regarding, IRAs and different, the governor in his speech talked about different forms of government. It seems like what the state would benefit from is hiring an attorney general in the attorney general's office that knows Indian law and that could, start advising us on where exactly legally and, otherwise do we stand, Do we have an obligation, or are we going to bat it back and forth and say the federal government has one, and then they're going to say it's up to us? Because we heard Senator Stevens talk before us. He said, that it's a state problem. So anyway, that's just I was going to write a letter with some people's signatures asking that there be a person in the AG's office that's familiar with Indian.
What I envision is, to me, the problem is not so much the problem in itself. To me, the problem is that the state has shirked to face the problem. Just year after year, we just skim along and we says, well, the state law doesn't address the problem, and leave it at that, And that's what I believe is wrong. If we ultimately decide as a state that we're not going to recognize it and reaffirm that, well, then we got to get the next step, and that is an administrative procedure, and to decide how we're going to address the problem. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to categorically say then in a case like that, those communities are not eligible to get any revenue sharing or get any grants or anything? Then when they make their decisions, at least they can take that in consideration. But right now, we're doing neither. Right now, we're making that system halfway work by making some real fancy footwork in contracting and directly granting and going through so-called private enterprise systems, like in some of the villages. There are a couple dozen of them, which were doing it. And nobody in the administration then is going to put the foot down and say, hey, there are none entity as far as we're concerned. So I think House Bill 65 is really raising, I think it's a very consequential and important one, and I think that's a good time to bring it up. And like Adelheid says, I'm sure that it's going to raise legal questions along with it, which is going to address Indian law. If the state has somebody in the AG's office that is qualified enough to write a legal opinion on that, I don't know. But at least it throws it out in a forum. It brings the subject out in the open.
Mr. Chairman, also along those lines, I know that there was a group that addressed IRAs. I know Senator Halpern was on it. I think Senator Banks and some other people. Maybe we could just have a briefing on, what happened there and what resolutions came out of there.
A final draft of their report has been made public, and I think that it would be possible to get the person that wrote that report before the committee.
I don't know if you want to get into that, but that would be something.
Well, I think we find out, right now, I think what I like to do is, as a committee, you know, is to say which ones do we think we want to push, and there are, of course, two ways looking at it. Number one, you can schedule those that are fairly clear-cut and dry and non-controversial and get them out of the way and even moving, and reserve the ones that look like they're controversial and consequential, reserve them for later, or the other way. I'd better get those out on the floor, you know, where we can discuss them, and then if they get bogged down, that they can get referred to different sources of information while we're running through the other ones. You know, like, for example, that 65, if we want to go and have somebody, you know, like Hoffman's sponsor or somebody go and pick some more information up for us, at least with the first reading, we can get to that point. Maybe we'll run down real short, but House Bill 9, projecting operating and maintenance cost of capital improvements, that is just the old, actually, that we had at one time. All that is life cycle costing. That's what it amounts to. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The Department of Transportation is, I think, still doing life cycle costing. It's a matter of statute. I see you chuckling. I could be way wrong here. What exists on paper and what exists, in fact, probably different. The fiscal note on that bill is zero. Although for some of the local projects that might be appropriated for as far as capital improvements, it may force some of those local projects to do their homework a little more thoroughly prior to coming to the legislature for fiscal assistance.
It should be a fairly simple bill. I mean, we know what it's about. All it is basically is that you have to determine at the time you make a request for a capital appropriation, you have to show what the down-the-road effect is in regards to operation and upkeep. And that way you can really determine the true cost of a bill, not just what an initial investment is, and if they can afford it or not.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have to go. I don't know what's happening, but they scheduled my Vision Gate Finance Subcommittee's at 3:30, and I'm going to try to get it straightened out.
You're going to get an ulcer before too long. You've got 4 o'clock, you've got first time.
So I'll see you.
Okay. You got any preference or as a parting shot here on anything?
I'll take your lead, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
That's disillusioned one.
That's all right. We still got a quorum here.
I'll tell you what, it's not the
You don't like that one, well, we can work that one. Because there's a lot of welfare at stake with that bill.
Yeah.
Okay, then the tax benefits in the business enterprise zones, is that the one on the tax fee?
Well, no. This one offers some tax breaks to communities who are or to business enterprises that are investing in zones that have been designated as enterprise zones. Evidently, the state, in conjunction with the federal government, can declare enterprise zones for the purpose of development. The federal government gives certain kinds of tax breaks to business enterprises that open up that operate within an enterprise zone, and this bill proposes that the state do the same thing. I'm not sure that there are any enterprise zones in the state at this point.
I've never heard of one.
Well, I'm just wondering if are you sure you're not confusing that with that international trade zone? That's something different?
No, sir.
Okay, well, that's my question. If you answer that, then...
But I think that has a correlation in regards to international trade and also Valdez. I think this doesn't come right out and say for international trade, but part of the bill is allowing the state to develop certain areas within communities for import-export, and allowing businesses who deal and export either businesses that are presently here or new businesses to be created that deal in export to receive tax credits to further, you know, that business along the line. As I said, I think it's got some correlation between the internet. I'll have to apologize because I just glanced through it without really looking at it.
This one hasn't been high on my priority list, too, and I have to apologize to the committee for not having more accurate information.
Well, it may be that it's a fairly high item, you know, anything that could enhance enterprise of any way, shape, or form, I think right now is going to be fairly high. But in any case, I think we got the gist of the thing. If that is a spin-off to the international trade zones and it's a business enterprise zone, which we know what it is, then House Bill 20
establishes a state sales tax. And the interesting thing about that bill is that as it was originally drafted, right now the bill that's before the committee is a sponsor, a substitute for HB 20.
Who's the sponsor?
Larson and Menard. The way the bill was originally drafted, and I'll have to talk from that point first to get onto the sponsor substitute, because I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to analyze the substitute. But originally, it authorizes a 3% state sales tax in communities where the total taxing value does not exceed a value that they impute, talking about, well, this is what goods and service sales might have been, and if they were that at 3%, this would be the established value. If a community is not already taxing above that level, this would authorize a state sales tax for those communities.
Okay.
Did I not do a good job in explaining that, Representative Kidd?
Well, what I hear you say is that we're going to give a state sales tax to some communities and not to others.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
And in my analysis of the bill, it appears as though the places that would not, the places that would be taxed in this bill comprise about 17,000 citizens within the state. One community of 500 in population, and the remainder of the communities being 250 in size. The Napaskiaks, Napakiaks, and Mossbrooks, places that are not taxing themselves currently or not within a borough that has established a sales tax. And interestingly enough, most of those communities are clustered around regional centers like Nome and Bethel and Galena, which have 5% sales taxes already, and I would imagine most of those people shop in the regional centers. Now, the sponsor substitute has recognized the fact that a lot of communities have 1% and 2% sales taxes, and so it comes out with a kind of a complicated 1/6 type formulation that brings those communities up to a 3% sales tax. My analysis on the first bill indicated that probably revenues to the state would be about $1,200,000, and the fiscal note indicated that the cost of administering the program would probably be about $200,000. So that probably the net revenue to the state would be about $1 million. Now, that's just a very cursory look at it, and I would have to prepare myself a lot better before I came before the committee with any kind of concrete analysis of that.
Yeah. Let me understand what you just said in regards to, if it was implemented, the cost to the state would be approximately $200,000 plus. The return in net revenues to the state would only be about 1.7 million.
I think that what I said was that the revenues to the state would be about $1.2 million, and that the cost of administering the program would be about $200,000 to assist, you know, to set things up in the Department of Revenue.
Where did you get the figure of $1 million of net revenue?
The figure that came out there, the census district analysis from the Department of Revenue's fiscal note, indicated about, I believe, $1.7 million and would be the return to the state. And they indicated that it was a very rough analysis because it was done by census district. So I got the municipal legal list of all the cities in the state along with their sales taxes, and then I just took those communities who did not have a sales tax up to 3%, and it came out to be a fewer number than what revenue had come up with in their analysis by census district. The Wade Hampton district, the South Fairbanks district, I believe the Alaska Peninsula, there were four census districts that they indicated that the bill would impact.
Well, we can get into that more in detail. I think I would the Cox Office thing. Cox Office thing is that it's not just a general tax on a statewide basis that gets redistributed on a per capita basis. So there's a bunch of stipulations attached to it.
The only reason, Mr. Chairman, I was somewhat puzzled is that even the state has been conservatively saying that the difference between a state income tax versus a state sales tax, state income tax going back to the old system of 76 or 77 would generate, correct me, $200 to $300 million, somewhere around the state sales tax, based on some of what Bernard and Larson were proposing, was on a conservative figure about $20 million to $30 million. I mean, you're saying $1.7 million. I'm just saying there seems to be a huge discrepancy there.
Well, let's not be any longer. Yeah, we've got a couple more to go through.
First blush, I want to get when I go into those things.
Sure.
Well, 65, we discussed that is that the problem there was a disillusion from a state form of government into an IRA or some kind of a sovereign form. 68, 67, we have scheduled already for Friday. 68, relating to the authority of fire department officers. What's that in a nutshell?
It's Representative Kidding's bill.
Yeah, it has to do with giving the authority of fire department officers to assume responsibilities. I can't pull it off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
But I'm a co-sponsor on it. This is my actual bill.
I can't tell you.
I think I'm a co-sponsor on that one.
Yes,
I'm
trying to sponsor. It's, you're a co-sponsor.
Yeah. And that's the reason I can't pull it right straight off my head. But it gives them the authority at the scene of a fire to take care of things that they're supposed to take care of without taking the liability individually.
It's like a old harmless bill where you can't get them on the tort.
Now, that one, as well as House Bill 15, are not before the committee yet.
First of all, one of those bills
is to State Affairs, and where the committee is second.
HB 68 is being heard right now at State Affairs today.
Okay.
If we could get it, if I may, Mr. Chair, if we get it through this committee, it possibly could be the first piece of legislation to pass the legislature.
Okay. Then, House Bill 9 relating to the time periods to be used for administering tax equalization and municipal assistance program. Is that where they wanted on the 2-year projection? Is that the one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But what they want to do is instead of, you know, in the planning process, instead of having a 1-year cycle, they want to have a 2-year projection. So they know from the revenue projections and stuff what's the levies and everything, which I think is a pretty good reason.
I also think the administration is looking to start their office in the 2-year fiscal reports too.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be
conjunction risk that down. The 95, that is just that gambling bill where I think there were two of them. One of them was a historic one and that's that one, right? And there was another bill out there too, I think that was just gambling period, allowing gambling without reference to historic.
What is the word? There's another word, Mr. Chairman, because my city of Whittier is involved in this, and inasmuch as they're not a historical city like Skagway is, and I can't think of the word that we used, recreational.
Yeah.
Which would still limit gambling. It wouldn't make
right.
A statewide gambling type situation.
That's right, it would make it municipal. But I wonder which one that was. Because I remember that was discussed someplace.
Well, I remember it from last year.
I believe that Representative Pettijohn has introduced a gambling bill.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there was something this year, and that must be worded. It wasn't referred to our committee, I don't think, so it must be worded on a different deal. Okay. Well, that's a historic gambling bill here. You know, that's the one where
that's you have historic bills.
And then House Bill 102 relating to general grant land entitlements.
I haven't had a chance to.
That's the one that came in this morning.
Representative Adams, right?
Yes, sir.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was actually the first time this morning. Which one, Terry, which ones of those bills here has more than us and finance? Or is there some of them with three referrals? In other words, where we're the first one and then there's a second one?
Well, the only two bills that were the second committee on
not that. We know that. That's 15 and 68. Where we are the first, and we have more than two. In other words, there are a whole bunch of them that go to finance that have a zero fiscal note, but still, for formality purposes, they can.
HB 15 has three referrals.
Yeah.
Labor and Commerce, Community and Regional Affairs, and Finance.
Right.
HB 95 has three referrals.
State
Affairs, Community and Regional Affairs, and Finance.
Hang on a second. Is that the sequence? The sequence is important. So wait, and 95 is the same as 68 and 15. Where's the second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which is the first in 95?
95, State Affairs is the first committee, Community and Regional Affairs is second, Finance is third.
Okay. Fine.
And 15, Labor and Commerce, this committee, and Finance.
Okay. So we know that now. Now, which ones? Frequent committees.
No, sir.
No. Okay.
So other than the three bills you talked about, the rest of the bills are just Community Regional Affairs and then
Finance.
I believe that there's one that's Community and Regional Affairs and State Affairs. Well, what
I was asking.
You know what? What my thinking was is to move those. If there would be a case where we are the first and there are two subsequent committees, to move that out of the way so they can pass on and go through.
Mr. Chairman. Uh-huh. Prostitution, dissolution of the municipality, and rural housing have judiciary as their second referral.
Yeah, so but they are already scheduled.
Yes, sir.
So we already accommodated that. Okay, so
open my help, Representative. Mr. Chairman.
Henry, we're covering the work session, so you don't have to be.
What might help, and I know where you're coming from, is if we could put down, it would help us to know, are these bills going to hit us first, or are they going to go to someone else? If you can just put in labor, CNRA, finance, so that we know once we sit down for these sessions how many committees that's going through. Because again, we're going to get a lot more bills even after this week, and it would help us. To answer your question, sitting right here, to prioritize and going out.
Well, what we do then is here, we got this scheduled for Friday. Would you have any problem of, let's see, the ones which we haven't scheduled yet is 9, 15 we wait on State Affairs, 20 we have to schedule, 65 we have to schedule, 90 and 102. So those are five bills which we should decide what we're going to do with them. I thought 65, that's a pretty important one. I thought we scheduled for next week sometimes for a first hearing. Let Hoffman give us a rundown. He is a sponsor on it. Because it looks to me like it's going to be a long drawn out complex bill.
Yeah.
And would that be all right? Okay, and then that would leave us 9, 20, 90, and 102. It looks to me like 9 is a fairly simple one, which we probably could get out of here pretty fast.
I think there's three of them that we could probably, 9, 68, 90.
68, we're waiting for State Affairs
to
come to us. So we can schedule them pretty fast, you know.
90.
So I thought 90 would be a 9 and 90 would be a pretty easy one. We take 65, 9, and 90 for next week. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do it right in that sequence, take a Monday 65 and then Wednesday 9 and then Friday 90. Or, you know, I don't have any real preference. I'm just thinking two ways. If it's simple, we can move it out and then it can go. We're done with it. And a more difficult one like 65 that gives the sponsor a chance to give, we can listen to him and then we see problems, that gives him then time to do some footwork or get support, or we can direct somebody to look into some problem which comes up. Okay, if that's okay with you, that's what we do then. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm back to my 68.
Okay.
Should that come over to us for still?
Oh, yeah, we should.
Could we
switch to a drive fast light, sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Nothing prevents us from putting two bills on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so three bills, 15, 68, and 95. As soon as we get them, I have no problem just moving them real fast. Okay, well, that's what we do at 4 o'clock. We got push caucus coming
right
up. So we adjourn at 4.
Oh!